Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You didn't hear SDPB's Keely Boltina on the radio last week. That's because she wasn't working here. She was working Guatemala. Now Keely's stateside again. She joins us live in our Sioux Falls studio. Welcome back, Keely.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I missed you.
Thank you.
I'm just going to throw that out there. Listeners missed you, but I missed you too.
I appreciate it.
We talked with you before you left for Guatemala, and you mentioned fitting wheelchairs for people there, but at the time you didn't quite know what to expect. What did you find out?
We got to experience the difference of Guatemala versus other countries that Hope Haven International distributes wheelchairs, because they actually have a full factory in Guatemala. So we were able to quickly tour that on the first day when we got there and see different people working in different areas. And most of them are in chairs. Most of them have benefited from Hope Haven International's wheelchair distributions before. And that's led to some opportunities to do real work where they are paid and can help take care of their families. So it was really incredible to see how that operation works and how they're thinking about things like making sure that they're using as few pieces to a wheelchair as possible, or as many things that they can out of like plastic that's one piece instead of a bunch of different elements, so that they can kind of maintain or easily replace them. That was a really interesting part for me. And there are also people who are, you know, sewing wheelchair covers for the seats and the armrests. So the whole operation is right there. And after that, we were able to work in that wheelchair seating clinic. I do have a glimpse of that controlled chaos if you're interested.
I would sure like to hear it.
Let's do it.
A young boy grins as he glides across the floor. He's sitting in his brand new wheelchair, and Morgan Fisher giggles, seeing his joy.
He was just really excited to even see the chair and for him to know it was his. And then even when we were doing adjustments, he took my tool and was like trying to do it himself, and like we showed him where the wheels was, and right away he tried to move it, and so we had to put the brakes on so we could finish adjusting before, but now he took off and there he goes.
Fisher is one of 14 people who boarded a plane in Sioux Falls, South Dakota early one day and stepped onto Guatemalan soil in the afternoon. On a Monday morning, team members work in a frenzy fitting wheelchairs through Hope Haven International.
Oh, that's right.
This one too?
Yes.
They're in Guatemala near a town called Santo Domingo Xenico. The space resembles a large garage. The floor is concrete and sound bounces off of the bright walls. One is purple, another green, orange, yellow, red. Lightly padded benches delineate different stations for wheelchair fittings. In an adjacent room, Guatemalans wait their turn. Minutes before the Sioux Falls crew sets to work, a local expert offers a crash course.
So we have to measure in both sizes. Why is this? Because sometimes they have a different length in his legs. You can see here. This one is longer than the other one. And then we're going to focus in the short one, because if you put more focus in this one is going to be really tight, and we want to focus short. The first measurement we're going to have is...
The clients move into the room, and the direction is simple. Go. A girl dressed in one-piece dinosaur pajamas is the first child in front of Mick Conlin. She snuggles against her mom and watches the man from Sioux Falls use a yellow tape to gauge ideal wheelchair setting.
Just like the measurements and keeping them straight and understanding what they were. And then, it was pretty, you know, straightforward, even with language things. It was just kind of pointing and you know, adjusting.
Learning the process, not understanding where different pieces should go until they pointed it out.
So, like, two more of these and you guys will be pros.
Yeah, I think
I'm a lot more comfortable now than 10 minutes ago.
Jordan Bra works with Conlin and a physical therapy student from Guatemala. They adjust the girl's wheelchair to the right dimensions. Bra watches as she rolls away.
Her mother seemed excited. She seems to really enjoy the chair. I mean, it should be life-changing.
Mm-hmm. Across the room, three men from the Great Plains work on a wheelchair for Irvin. The six-year-old sports a vibrant red shirt and a black hat made of stocking cap material, and he is skeptical. Under Irvin's watchful gaze, Jeff Veltkamp from Sioux Falls details the adjustments necessary for the right wheelchair.
We had to move the backrest forward quite a bit to fit into the small of his back. He's a little bit larger, so we had to remove some of the padding that was in there originally. So that was the majority of it. And they're tight fitting, so we had to pound on it. He seems pretty happy at this point. I think he thinks we're a little weird. He keeps looking at us funny, but I'm pretty sure we are.
Okay.
Yep.
The once tentative Irvin soon embraces his new friends. He's nearly hysterical during a game chasing down South Dakotans in the parking lot. And Irvin throws a ball back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with volunteers. Fitting the wheelchairs is a critical goal on the mission, but another priority for these Americans is connecting with Guatemalan people. Some bond by crashing small toy cars with the children. Others offer candy from the United States as sweet bribery. Still more push wheelchairs up the inclined lot so kids can set their shiny wheels in motion and careen down the slope, then beg to do it over again. Keith Oberlo from Sioux Falls has evidence of his connection to Guatemala on his t-shirt.
It's a mixture of Tootsie Roll, saliva, and dirt. Yeah, it's a badge. Badge of honor.
Full disclosure, one of those voices was my husband. I feel like I just have to put that out there so that I'm not hiding anything.
Right. This whole piece is one of the reasons why I'm glad you're back, Keely. So tell me about the people that you served.
You know, by the time we finished, there were 13 people from Guatemala who had wheelchairs when they used to be carried everywhere.
Wow.
Right. I mean, that's how it works. They came in, they sat down in the chairs in the waiting area or were placed in the chairs in the waiting area and left. Being able to roll around. The people that we worked with were children, but two of them were adults. Jose is 20 years old, and he'd never had a wheelchair before. And we also met Annabella, and her mother had carried her everywhere she went, and she's 26 years old. So, I mean, that's a long time to not be mobile, to be stuck in one place, and to not only to rely on other people, but as those caretakers, to be those
right.
people who are trying to, you know, give these kids and then adults a completely full life. I witnessed one particular wheelchair fitting that struck me, and I just want to introduce you to the teenager who conquered these circumstances.
Eddie Rolando lies somewhat twisted on a bench. He wears pilled maroon pajama pants and an off-white t-shirt. His black and white ankle sweat socks are nearly worn through. When crew members help sit him up, the full extent of his deformities shows. Eddie's back has grown sideways. His right shoulder and ribs jut out inches farther than his left.
He has posterior tilt.
Yeah, but it's fixed.
Yeah, it's fixed, yeah. But if I put one support, I don't know if it's helping or too much adjustments for the chair and the chair is going to lose them.
If this comes forward, we're going to get a problem here. It'd be nice just to support this a little bit more, wouldn't it?
An independent training wheelchair consultant with the World Health Organization happens to visit during this fitting. He and Sergio discuss how to best support Eddie's body in his first chair. He's not yet a man, but at 15 years old, Eddie is no longer a boy. His mother can't miss work, so a cousin travels with him to the wheelchair distribution. Sergio translates.
She helped. La mamá qué es? Su primo. Esposa de mi tío. She helped his mom to brought him because mom's work, and she also work and leave his kids at home for coming here for the chair because they really need it. So they pass sometimes maybe 12 hours in a bed and then in a cushion and they put it again. It all doesn't go out too much of our house. So with the chair, it's gonna be easier. They can go to the market, they can go to the church, they can go to a park, have an ice cream, everybody. So it's gonna be easier for them to take care of.
Eddie clutches two toys. One is half of the body of a Toy Story character that he brought along, and the other is a small Captain America action figure keychain he just received. Eddie has cerebral palsy. He understands people around him, but he can't communicate in any material way. His hips are stuck at a sideways angle, so wheelchair experts focus on bolstering his upper body. It starts with an electric knife. Sergio explains.
So we need to make a back seat special for him when he's going to put this part of his back in a hole. So in that way, he's going to have support in all his back right now.
A physical therapy student plugs an ordinary electric knife into a portable outlet. Wood trim surrounds the power source. A piece of black tape runs around the bottom for good measure. The student has a rough marker outline on a square piece of foam several inches thick. He carves out a space for the hump of Eddie's back layer by layer until it fits. Fitters manipulate the foam until it suits Eddie. They extend the armrest to accommodate the extra padding. They lean the boy back in the wheelchair to build supports for his angled legs and feet. Then, with Eddie still in the chair, they drill new holes straight through the frame of the wheelchair. The metal screams. With a few screws and harness clips, the new supports keep Eddie steady. He gets a wood tray to brace his arms and hold his belongings. 1 hour and 45 minutes after he first lay down on the bench, Eddie is upright in his very own wheelchair.
Keely, that is way more complicated of a fitting than I would have ever imagined.
Right. They started talking about this, and they were looking at how his legs were different sizes, or, you know, different lengths, and how they were going to support it because they couldn't, you know, move his pelvis anymore because it was stuck. And so they built these extra footrests, you know, on the back so that they could try to prop up his legs and adjust for his back. And when they were going through all of this, I asked Sergio, I'm like, how do you do this? I mean, will he still get a chair by the end of the day? And he said, absolutely, this is what we do. Like, we figure it out because he's not leaving here without it. And I loved that because I had seen the easier cases before where it's, we'll adjust the straps, we'll adjust the harness, you know, move this around. And so to see them cope with such a complicated case and figure out what can we do to best preserve his quality of life and improve it was important.
Hmm. What kind of relationships do you think that were formed with those kids? Did you see them begin to open up to you? Was it more utilitarian for them?
Yeah, especially with Irvin that you heard from earlier, he was very like, I don't know about these people, right? I don't know what's happening, what's going on. And then you couldn't get them away, especially when we saw them the next day when they were like fed and had slept and they had spent a little more time in the wheelchairs and they were so fast in those things already. It was just incredible to see how many like hugs they wanted to give you. Irvin kissed me on the forehead, which is what my 2-year-old does. And so I was just like in that moment transported back. And they did that with all of us. They were just incredibly grateful, and joy is the word that just keeps coming to me. And I don't know what they've been through, and I didn't ask a lot of what they've been through, but it's much harder than what I have. And it was just great to see how they have this immediate connection. I mean, I thought we had to leave Heath Oberlo down there because he was not going to put one of those kids down. You always saw a couple of them always had some kids that they were playing with and having fun. And, you know, so even if it just made a difference for those couple of days, it made a difference for those couple of days.
How about those bouncy balls? I remember that was the first thing that you packed.
Oh my
gosh.
Did
they make the journey?
They did. And I handed them everywhere. And they were such a pain because kids would throw them and we'd have to run after them. But in these pictures, sometimes.
Think that through, did you?
No, I did not. I should have. But, you know, you catch a glimpse of this bright blue ball. And, you know, even the kids who didn't have great muscle control were able to grasp them in their hands. And so it was a little bit of a distraction and a little bit of fun that they were able to have while there was all of this going on. And they were kind of being poked and moved and tried to figure this out for the greater good. But in those moments, it's difficult.
Keely, we've got about 2 minutes left. And I'm just wondering, what's the most important thing that you want South Dakota listeners to really, you know, take away from this sort of journey? Well, let me ask you this. What will you take away from it? What are you going to remember the most?
I am startled by how easy it was to slip back into this life. I know I'm privileged, and I know I don't have to worry about getting sick from the water that comes out of the faucet. And I know that I have access to good foods and to safe conditions, and that if something happens to me or my family, like, we'll find a way to take care of. I underestimated how easy that would be to come back and just kind of leave that behind. So there's a wall here between these two separate worlds. And I have to figure out personally how to, you know, take that down and to connect better with it, because I don't want to leave what happened in Guatemala and just transition so easily back into, you know, we were born here. One of the people we were with said, hey, you know, it's not our fault that we won the lottery, but we still have to, you know, consider that. And so, you know, that's part of the group that's based in Sioux Falls called Dispatch. They're a Christian-based organization that encourages local businesses to sponsor employees on overseas trips to make a difference. And I guess I just take away that I hope we manage that this time.
Will you do something like this again? More mission work for you in the future?
We'll see what happens.
All right. You can see photos from Kili Beltina's time in Guatemala on our website. Just visit listen.sdpb.org. Stick around for hour two of In the Moment. After a quick break and the news, we'll meet a new Dakota political junkie, and we'll talk about the humanities in the state. You're in the moment, SDPB Radio.